start doing weird things. Like the teacher needed to get her attention, and she said twice, well, that wouldn't work in a good church. So you can hear me with your fingers in the air.
Good morning. I'm Jana Lance, and I'm your service leader today. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Meadville, a beacon for free thinkers since 1825. We're glad you're here. We offer a special welcome to our guests and visitors. We love to get to know you better, so we hope you will join us after the service in the parish house next door for coffee and conversation. We invite you also to take a moment and fill out the visitor card in your pew, which you can place in the collection basket. If you have not already done so, please silence your cell phones.
Good morning, everyone. On this more or less beautiful day in autumn, the first Sunday of October, the opening words today are about joy. How can there be joy in times of danger and chaos? How can laughter be shared when there's no one there to hear it? We give and receive the best of joy when we are together with others. A smile can brighten a dark day. Laughter together can be infectious. Not forced joy or smiles, but those moments when our little corner of the world lights into shared laughter. So, welcome again this morning as we gather here to worship.
Okay. All right, please read along as we complete our chalice lighting. Fire consumes and casts a bright light. May our chalice flame consume our regrets for the past, our fears about the future, and our worries about today. May it light for us a path of joy and peace. Okay, and we will now read our unison affirmation of covenant and mission. Our covenant is to be a loving, joyful community that nurtures spiritual growth, promotes compassion, social responsibility, and service in an atmosphere of mutual trust. Our mission is to be a faith community devoted to love and respect, reason and justice.
The last several Sundays, I've had an opportunity for us to spend more time welcoming each other, because the first Sunday back on the 12th or 13th, whatever it was, September, people were really enthusiastic about seeing each other again. So I want to continue that routine of people able to visit each other, make sure you keep your masks on, and enjoy some time saying hi to each other. And if you haven't met somebody yet, come up and introduce yourself. Thank you. Now comes the opportunity, as we do in every one of our services during the church year, is for people to be able to come up and share any personal joys or sorrows that they would like to share with us, and to light a candle. And if there are any issues where I need to light the candle for you because you might not be able to come up, just let me know. Please speak into the microphone. Also keep your mask on. And no political announcements or other information other than your personal joy or sorrow. Thank you. So come on up.
Please turn the mic on.
My binder came in on Friday.
Okay.
I'm Josh Searle White. Two candles. One for Rick and Carol Holmgren aren't able to be here today because they're setting up for a big event at the Tamarack Wildlife Center. So a candle for them, and for their event and for the work they do out there. And then secondly, I'm pleased to announce the arrival. Can't get myself to be unemotional even through the mask. Ari Reed Searle White, my first grandchild, born in Germany on Friday at about 1 o'clock our time. So Jennifer and I are thrilled, but definitely not old enough to be grandparents. So, but Emily and Claudia are doing great, so that's great. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Mark. This is Cora. Some of you have not been able to meet Cora yet, but she's 10 months old, and Aaron and I are expecting another baby. We're having a baby boy in November, so we're very excited. And we'll have Irish twins. So if anybody wants to babysit, please let me know at the end of the service. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Karen Schreiber-Mason, and I think I'm going to continue with two themes that seem to be prevalent this morning. One is joy, and one is grandchildren. I just came back from a trip where I celebrated my granddaughter's 8th birthday and her mother's birthday on the same day. And yesterday I was in Pittsburgh with a group of friends that all used to work here in Meadville together years ago. And we've always gathered at my house, but we started gathering in Pittsburgh because two of our children now have children. So we had a 2-month-old, an 11-month-old, and a 3-year-old among all of the rest of us. And then we have this lovely little one here. She's somebody's grandchild, but she's certainly yours, and she's lovely. And I just was thinking the line in the chalice lighting about our fears for the future, and that our children and our grandchildren are our joys for the present and our hope for the future. So just to celebrate that.
And as always, I will light one more candle for all the joys and sorrows that are not expressed aloud, but are in our hearts. Let's take some quiet time. We know that the world is a dangerous place. We know that very few things are stable right now in our lives, except perhaps our families, perhaps our local area. But the world itself seems to be in chaos. So for a couple of minutes or so, let's reflect on the world as it is, which we can't control very much, but focus on some joys. For example, one joy are these beautiful flowers that I would seriously guess probably Peggy Bill brought today. They're beautiful. They're alive. They're gorgeous. And think of other joys that you have witnessed, or perhaps read about, that are happening in the world, not just in our own lives. Certainly grandchildren is one. Certainly your music is another. Certainly our presence together is a third. So what about the joys that you've witnessed, watched, experienced in the world itself? Take some time, please, to consider them. Thank you, Maddie. Appreciate it. And thank you, Jenna, for being service leader and pulpit assistant today. You can do both. And thank you all for being here. As I said in the meditation time, it's kind of difficult to find much joy in the world these days. We all know that there are crises that affect us locally, nationally, globally, in our families, and in our own personal lives. And it's tempting to pull the emotional blanket over our heads and wait it all out. Right, exactly. So how do we find joy at these difficult, dangerous times? Now, joy is defined, and it's been defined many ways, as a quick burst of happiness or delight. For example, I'm a worrywart. I'm very good at worrying. It's part of my nature. It's why I've done transitional ministry for the last 25 years. I like to worry. And so on my way in here today, I was thinking, all of those non-perishable foods, I wonder if they're still in the sanctuary. And I was working myself up into a good bout of anxiety, and what would I do? And I got here, and I looked, and they were in the office, my office. And I had this burst of joy that was one less thing I would do today, and maybe one more thing that I will do this week. That's what joy can be. It can be spontaneous. It can be just a small thing that relieves our worrying, or maybe even just as a little bit of an aha experience. What if joy is a natural part of who we are as human beings, rather than just a quick burst of enthusiasm? There's a Christian writer by the name of Bill High, and he has a blog that he posts every few weeks. And he said, joy is more like a deep abiding. Joy is more like a deep abiding. It almost sounds Buddhist, actually, because in the Buddhist teachings, we talk about abiding a great deal. So abiding in that it has enormous length and depth. And sometimes we don't see it until we look for it. So I'm going to tell you three stories about joy that not only suddenly happen, but they abide. And they abide for us to rediscover every day, and especially in those times when we might be going through some dark moments. And they do have a common theme. Story one. Some of you know that I have a very particular relationship with cats. And about 5 weeks ago, I have two elderly sister cats, Mapo and Elsa, and they're about 18 years old, and they've been across country with me at least six times over the last 17 or so years. And Mapo had cancer, and she was being treated for it, but clearly going downhill very quickly. So I called the vet who I go to and said, I think it's time. So I took Mapo over to the vet, and we went into a room, and the injections were done, and that was that. And the veterinarian and her assistant were so tremendously kind. It was very, very tender, and it was helpful for me because it broke my heart. And it still breaks my heart. And I'm guessing that for at least some of you, you've probably had pets or animal companions in your life where we had to do this. We had to go and send them to their rest. So a few days before that happened, something else occurred, which I didn't realize at the time was going to bring me some joy. I have a number of cats who live on my porch because they have A, good food, B, they have tender loving care, and C, they know who the sucker is. So, consequently, there were several cats who would always come by for their food, including a female. She would always jump in my lap, announce, I am here, and get ready for the food. So one day, and this was about 6 weeks ago, before Mapo died, She came up, jumped on my lap, and she looked down. So I looked down, and there were three kittens that she'd brought over from wherever she'd brought them up across the street. Okay, wow. I guess I have to get more food. Anyway, after we had to put Mapo to rest, I went home, and I was feeling for several days really downcast. But what brought me joy, which I didn't expect, and I'm not even sure I wanted, was to watch these kittens playing. And especially, and yes, I took pictures of them chasing each other at full tilt across the yard and back, and then jumping on their mother to nurse. And it was incredible to watch, and I couldn't help but laugh. It was so joyful. It did not take away my sadness about Mapo's death, but it started to balance out the joy and the sorrow just a bit. It was really quite beautiful. And when I got back on Wednesday night or Thursday morning from a trip, which I'll mention shortly, all the cats came running across the yard at 3 a.m. in the morning because it was time for the food. It was joyful. Second story. The last Sunday I was here, which was two Sundays ago, I was doing a wedding up in New York State that afternoon. And the people who were having the wedding, and it was a young couple, they'd had the wedding postponed twice. And we're talking about a very elaborate wedding. And because of COVID, it had had to be put off twice. And they were stressed out about it, but it was working out okay. Anyway, we had a rehearsal the day before. They felt pretty comfortable with, okay, who's going to be here, who's going to be there, who's the bridesmaid, blah, blah, blah. It all was working out fine. So we get to the day of the wedding. And I told the couple, I said, no wedding ever starts on time. That's number one. Number two, there is always something that happens during the wedding that people will remember. So we started the wedding ceremony, and the audience, of course, I think there were almost 200 people there. It was wrapped with attention. And the bride and groom were going to say their vows. And I think in this case, the groom went first, and the bride went first for the rings exchange. But the groom was going first, and I was, repeat after me, because I warn people, never, ever, ever try to memorize your vows. It's not going to work. So the groom started to repeat after me his vows, and then he stopped. He was choked up. It was so much for the ceremony. The woman he loves deeply, and she deeply loves him. He just stopped. So what happened then was totally spontaneous. The bride gave her bouquet to the maid of honor, and she reached over and took his hands and just held them. And so I started the vows over. And they worked out just fine that time. But what people said after the ceremony, especially the parents, was how touching and how joyful it was that she, in that spontaneous moment of loving, did that gift to him in his vulnerability. It was amazing. And I was watching the audience, and they were just basically going, it was joyful. It was unplanned. And after the service was over, and I was talking to people, It was one of the most powerful parts of the ceremony, and it was unplanned, but it was joyful. Third story. This last week, I went to Montana to Whitefish and Kalispell by Glacier National Park to speak at a fellowship there and do a workshop. And I've gone to the Glacier UU Fellowship many times over the years. And the flight from Pittsburgh to Seattle to Kalispell took quite a while, but that's okay. I enjoy flying. Well, did the service and did the workshop, and I had about 3 days to kind of decompress and stay at the hotel in Whitefish, and I went up to Glacier National Park, and it was nice. It was lovely. But then I was facing a long trip home. I had to be in Kalispell, where the airport is, by 5:30. Flew into Seattle. Had a nine-hour layover in Seattle. So I decided I'm going to go have lunch at my favorite restaurant in West Seattle called Buddha Ruska, and I invited a colleague to go with me, and we had a good time. He drove me back to the airport, and there was another few hours of waiting. But we got on the flight, and you could tell people were tired. It was about 7 o'clock Pacific time. And then there was a malfunction of a seat that wouldn't work properly. So the mechanics came in, they tried to fix it, and they finally gave up, and they moved the person in that particular seat to another seat at the rear of the plane. And that was all okay, but everybody was tired. It had been a long day. But here's something that changed that day just a bit. The Seattle airport is very busy, and it's big, and there's lots of noise, except at maybe 12 o'clock in the morning. Very busy, very noisy, lots of people going to and fro, everybody masked. And I was waiting at the gate for my flight to go, and there were a couple of restaurants right across the way. And there's this little kid in a stroller screaming his head off. And noise can travel in an airport really easily. And we were all trying to be very polite about it, but the screaming was very kind of edgy. And of course, the parents were trying to, you know, make things as easy as possible for their child. You'll probably have this experience at some point. But the screaming was jarring. All of a sudden, a little kid who was seated with his or her parents, I don't know what gender, got up and ran over to the little kid who was screaming and just put their arms totally around. And I think actually gave him a kiss on the cheek. And the little kid went silent. I don't think anyone was prepared for that. And I looked at the people around me, and I looked at the parents, and everybody was grinning. It was such a moment of not just joy, but also grace. It was a moment where, yes, there was a discordant sound, and the baby was obviously very unhappy, but without any of us planning it, again, spontaneously, a child went over and did what needed to be done to help another child feel comfortable. It was quite astonishing. And we talked about it actually on the plane, on the trip back to Pittsburgh. And then from Pittsburgh, I have to drive north. And that gave me the fourth quick story of I drive from Pittsburgh Airport at 1:30 in the morning, get here at 3 in the morning, I'm exhausted, and I go up to my porch, and there and behold, of course, every cat who owns me came running because it was time for food. And that was joyful too, because it was like being welcomed home. Those joys just don't disappear. And this is where I think joy abiding is powerful. Whenever I feel down or anxious, I bring back those moments of great joy. Are they as powerful as when I experienced them? No, of course not. But they do help me reclaim just a piece of that joy, of that affirmation, of that moment in time when somehow the world seemed just a bit lighter. They remind me to put things in balance just a bit more, not just the sorrows, not just a child screaming, not just a beloved pet dying, not just a wedding that I had to prepare for several weeks. There was a moment of joy that I now can hold on to and remember and share. Such joys can remind us about how important relationships are, and those are the common themes in all of those stories. Relationships, the child, the story with the kittens, the bride and groom together, facing one another, doing what needed to be done to love clearly. I'd like to finish with actually a very short poem written by William Blake. And one of our hymns in the Gray Hymnal is actually adapted from it. It's called Every Night and Every Morn. But this is the original poem. It's very short. And it speaks to how joy and woe can balance each other out. And that underlying all of it is that abiding joy, if we look for it, if we can find it. Even if we're feeling crappy and down and wish that the world would go away and we could pull a blanket over our head, sometimes there's a joy that changes us for an instant. Here's the poem. Joy and woe are woven fine, a clothing for the soul divine. And under every grief and pine runs a joy with silken twine. It is right that it should be so. We were made for joy and woe. And when this we rightly know, through the world we safely go. And I believe in my heart that that is true, that instead of being broken human beings, we have the thread of joy that runs through us. And all we need to do is refuel it sometimes with the joys that we experience, the joys that we do for others, and even simply the joy of a beautiful sunset that makes us go, how beautiful this moment is. So I'd invite us to take just a couple of minutes of meditation time to consider how important joy might be in our lives. And do we acknowledge it? Do we experience it? Do we see it? And if so, can we find joy and keep it in our hearts? Not just for ourselves, but for others.
We now offer our financial gifts to sustain the church in its work in the community. Our Share the Plate recipient this month is Women's Services. As Alex extinguishes the chalice, please read the closing words with me. I slept and dreamt that life was joy. I awoke and saw that life was service. I acted and behold, service was joy. Thank you.
So please feel welcome to join us across the way for coffee, tea, refreshments. If anyone needs to use the restroom, there are restrooms on the first floor. Go through and turn to the right. And hope to see you later and have a good week. See you across the way.